Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Verse 20 again, it says, And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I want to talk to us tonight on this thought. Can Jesus see your faith? Can Jesus see your faith? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your presence, the moving of your spirit. Have your way in our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to put our faith into action, to do what you've called us to do, Lord. I pray that you would use us in this city, in this surrounding area. I pray, Lord, that you'd move through us. Help us to be your hands and your feet, to operate in the way that you've called us to do, Lord, and to be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. Can Jesus see your faith? What does faith look like? Hebrews 11 and 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the assurance of what we're hoping for. It's the evidence of things that we can't see. We often think of faith as being something that's invisible. Faith is trusting God. Faith is it's in the heart. It's what we believe. But Luke tells us that it's very interesting how he says this in this story today. When Jesus saw their faith, their faith had become visible. How do you see something that's invisible? Jesus could see their faith because it had moved them into action. Jesus saw their faith because he saw what their faith made them do. James chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How do we see faith? By our works. Verse 19 says, Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There comes a point when we have to put our faith into action. We've got to do something. We've got to act on our faith. We decide that, you know what, I've talked about it long enough. I've prayed about it. I've sought the Lord. I've wished. I've hoped. I've waited. Now it's time to put faith into action. That's how we can see the invisible. That's how we can see faith, because we put faith into action. This chapter we're in, Luke chapter 5, it's it's full of miracles. The people had pressed in close to hear Jesus as he spoke to them by the lake of Gennesaret. And so they were pressing in so close that he decided, well, I'm going to get into Simon Peter's boat. And he had to move out a little bit from the shore so he could speak to the people. And we read in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." Now, Peter was the professional here, not Jesus. Peter was the professional fisherman. But Jesus told him to launch out to the deep and let down his net. They had already fished all night. They had already done everything they knew to do. They were the ones that knew how to catch fish, but they hadn't caught a thing. But Peter says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." There were a lot of reasons why putting down a net was not going to work. But Peter put his faith to work at the words of Jesus. What God has told us to do, what the direction that the leading of his Spirit is calling us to, are we putting our faith into work, into action, by doing what he's led us to do? Or are we just kind of sitting back and just considering all the reasons why it won't work and why our problem is it's really too big for God and it's really too much for a miracle? And yes, there's a lot of reasons why letting down the net doesn't make any sense, but nevertheless, at thy word, here I go. Come on, somebody. I believe that God will speak to our life and he'll give us just a little glimpse of something. He doesn't explain it all. He just says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go pray for that person. I want you to invite that person to church. Teach them a Bible study. Do this, do that. We don't know all of the details sometimes, but if we will just step back and say, okay, God, I don't understand it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let you see my faith, Lord, because I'm going to put it into action. Amen. And look what happened. They caught so many fish that the net broke and they had to call their friends, their fishing partners. And so they came and there were so many fish it filled both boats so that they began to sink. The miracle that God wants to do is bigger than what we can imagine. It's more than what we can contain. If we can just do what God is leading us to do. Nevertheless, at thy word, here I go. Then reading on Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy." Now, this is something that Mark and Matthew, they don't say it like this, but Luke says he was full of leprosy. Luke, being the doctor, he was telling how bad off this leper really was. And it was the worst case scenario. He was full of leprosy. "Who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." Lord, if you will. One translation says it like this. The leper fell on his face before Jesus and said, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. If you want to. And Jesus said, I want to be clean. I want to. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of our miracle because we don't believe that Jesus wants to. We convince ourselves, well, God really doesn't want me to be healed, or he really doesn't want my family to be saved, or God really doesn't want the church to have revival, or God doesn't really want to save our city. Those things are obviously not true. Come on. Jesus, if you want to, and Jesus said, I want to. Stop letting the enemy convince you that God doesn't want to. He wants to. If we will put our faith into action, he wants to heal our body. He wants to save the lost. He wants to send revival. He wants to do the miracle. He wants us to be blessed. He's just saying, I want you to show me your faith. And when you put your faith into action, I'm going to meet you there. Praise the Lord. And then we get to this story that we read, Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. There was a lot of smart people there, doctors of the law. They were from the towns all around. They'd all come to see what was going on, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but not one of them got healed. You see, they just come to see if they could find something to criticize. You're not going to get it criticizing. Whenever God's moving, there's always going to be critics. People complaining about how God's working, about who God's using. It's not like they think it should happen. It's, you know, they're not in control of it. They're not getting the glory for it. It threatens the little kingdom that they're working so hard to build. And so they get to complaining and tearing down everything that God is doing. And they miss out on the miracle. Look at how the children of Israel complained. They murmured and complained about everything. Well, we wish we were back in Egypt, they'd said. And that whole generation missed out on the promised land. They didn't believe it, and so they didn't get to see it. Now, I don't want to miss what God's going to do. How about you? I don't want to be complaining, criticizing, picking apart everything that God's doing. I don't even want to be around people that are doing that. I don't want any part of it. I want to get to work and be a part to be right in the middle of what God is doing and how he's working. Lord, just show me where I can go to work, because I want to see your power. I want to be a part of revival. I want to see your glory. And imagine being there in the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord being present to heal you. But the miracle is right there. The answer is already there for us, but we don't realize it, and we miss out on something great. I want to tell you, God's been moving in such an awesome way in our services lately, and I hope you just came tonight expecting a miracle. Hallelujah. I hope we're putting our faith to work so we don't miss what God's going to do. I don't want to be one of those criticizers that don't get their miracle. But look at this paralyzed man who had four friends. They believed that Jesus could heal their friend. They had faith. And so they made their way to where Jesus was. They carried their friend. It was work. It was work. It wasn't easy, but they had faith. And when they got there, a bunch of other people, well, they were there too. People were hungry to see Jesus. It's the same today. People want to see a move of God. They want to experience the supernatural. They're hungry. They're tired of empty, dead religion. They're not looking for a bunch of old traditions. They want something real. They want something real. And when the word starts to get out, I tell you, they'll come from all around. Amen. They want to see Jesus. They want to see his power. They want to experience something that's real. And it's more than just, well, it's a tradition and we've always done it like this. And no, I don't want to get stuck in a mold that says, well, this is how it's got to be done. Why don't we step back and say, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to move in our services? How do you want to work through this church? How do you want to send revival to this city, Lord? I just want to be where you are. I just want to see your power and your glory fill the house. Oh, come on. When word gets out that Jesus is there, trust me, the place is going to be full. There won't be room enough for everybody because they want to see Jesus. And the place was full with the multitude. They tried to find a way in, but the crowd was so was just too much. And so they go up on the housetop. Somebody asked, well, did the man have any faith? You better believe he did. A paralyzed man. To let them carry him up on the roof. He had some faith. That took faith. But they started tearing the roof off, and they were determined to get their friend in front of Jesus. If we would just get a little bit of that determination that I've got to find somebody that needs the Lord, and I've got to go get them, and I've got to bring them, and whatever it takes, I've got to tell somebody about the hope I found. I've got to let them know that there's a way they can be free. There's something, there's an answer for their situation. I've just got to get them in front of Jesus, and everything's going to be all right. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but if I can get them in front of Jesus, if I can bring them to church, if I can bring them to prayer meeting, if I can get them in front of Jesus. So they tear off the roof, and if they could get him to Jesus, they knew that he would be healed. They were counting on it, because bringing him back up would probably have been a lot more work than just lowering him down. I believe they thought, we're going to get him down there, and it's going to be taken care of. Luke 5:20 says, and when he saw their He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. They didn't have to announce, Jesus, we have faith. Lord, we have faith. No, their actions said it for them. They were desperate. They were serious about this. Sometimes I think people, they're not really serious about getting a miracle. Lord, if you want to get around to it, I would kind of like to, be healed in my body. I'd kind of like this or that, and I would like a financial blessing, but it's no big deal, And real faith means business. God, I've got to have a miracle, and so I'm going to pray until something happens. I'm desperate. They didn't have to announce it. Jesus, we have faith. No, their actions said it for them. He saw their faith can be seen. We've got to do more than just talk about faith. We've got to do more than just preach about faith, more than just read about faith in the Word of God. There's something lacking in faith if it can never be seen. And we've got to demonstrate our faith. If Jesus looks at our life, can he see our faith? Real faith eventually becomes visible. And if faith never affects what we do, where we go, how we talk, how we live, how we give, what we live for, then what evidence is there really of what we believe? Faith without works is dead. Real faith, it becomes visible when we put it into action. And so when Jesus saw their faith, he told the man, he said, thy sins are forgiven. Was he saying that this man was paralyzed because of his sin? That have talked back and forth about that, and it is possible. When we study the Word of God, we see that sin can open the door to sickness. And Jesus told the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on thee. So are you calling me out, Pastor, saying if I'm sick, I've got sin in my life? No, I'm not saying that. But if there is sin, and if it is opening a door to sickness, why get all bent out of shape about it? Do we want to be healed or not, We need to make it right with God. We need to repent. We need to turn away from sin. We need to make it right with others. We need to forgive. We need to release bitterness. We need to let God take away any unforgiveness. We got to just cover all of the bases. If there is sin, let's get it right. Let's shut that door. Okay? Let's not leave that door open to the enemy. If there's sin, we're going to get it right. We're going to take care of it. If there's some other cause, we're going to pray for healing. But I believe it's God's will that we be set free from sickness. And whether this man was paralyzed because of his sin or because of something else, the greatest need in this man's life was his sin problem. Jesus could have raised him up to walk, but then he could still go to hell. He had to have his sin dealt with. His sinful condition was the most important need. But when Jesus saw their faith, he forgave him of his sins. And he said, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Luke chapter 5 verse 25 says, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. This all started out when Jesus saw their faith. The man's faith, his friend's faith, he saw their faith because of what their faith made them do. Real faith becomes visible. And so faith can be seen. How can we show our faith? What can we do? How can Jesus see our faith? Faith can be seen by what we overcome to get to Jesus. They had to fight through the crowd. They had to climb on the roof. They had to tear it apart. They had to lower the man down. They could have said, you know what? Well, we tried. We tried. It didn't work out. It wasn't convenient. It was too crowded. We'll come back another day. No, faith keeps looking for a way. Faith is determined. Hallelujah. Oh, you think about the woman with the issue of blood. She'd been 12 years in that condition, and she was sick and tired of it, but she heard Jesus was coming by. She heard Jesus was coming by, and so she fought her way through the press. She fought her way through the crowd. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close to him, if I can just make my way through this crowd, I know it's not easy, but I got to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. She was putting her faith into action. Praise the Lord. And Matthew 9:22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. He saw her faith. He saw her faith, what she was willing to overcome. Somebody's got to make up your mind. I don't care what it takes. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to live for the Lord. I've got to make a way. I've got to make sure that I overcome anything in my path that keeps me from Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he heard Jesus was passing by, and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. People tried to quiet him down. Come on, hush. That's not important. You need to be quiet. Don't make a noise here. But he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Mark 10:52 says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Faith gets to working. Faith gets to moving. Faith motivates us. Faith moves us. And when we respond and put our faith into action, Jesus says, your faith hath made you whole. Praise the Lord. We can see our faith by what we're willing to overcome to get to Jesus. Faith can be seen in where we're faithful. Where we're faithful shows our faith, because we're full of faith in that area. Church attendance is so important. Well, you're a pastor, you know, of course you're going to say that. No, I'm telling you. I've been pastoring now 21 years. I'm thankful I've been in the church all my life. And God's been so good to me. Over that 21 years, I have learned a thing or two. I've got a lot more to learn. But I have seen so many times that people have struggled and people have just had such a hard time of living for God and living in victory. And here's what the enemy tells them. Well, you got to get everything worked out before you come to the church. You got to get rid of all those bad habits. You've got to stop talking like you're talking. You got to stop saying cuss words. You got to stop, you know, doing those things. And you got to get your relationships all right. You got to stop all this sin and all that. And then you can go to church. That's what the enemy will say. I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you're struggling with some of those things, and the enemy's telling me you don't need to go to church, you're in no position to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, none of us are. None of us are. Okay? But the most important thing, if I was going to tell a new Christian the most important thing you can do to live for God is just come to church. Just be here. Be here every Sunday. Be here every Wednesday. If you've got to quit your job and find a job that will let you come to church, I've told some of y'all that, you know. It will bless you. It's worth it. It's worth it. Just come to church. Just be here every time there's a prayer meeting. Be here every time there's something going on. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Faith can be seen in where we're faithful. Faith can be seen by what we're willing to give. Oh, sure, you're going to work in giving on this, Pastor, aren't you? Yes, I am. It's a good clue of if we have faith or not. Because if we don't have faith, then we'll say, well, I got to control this. I've got to control my time, my talent, my treasure. I'm not giving up any of that. But when we have faith, we're willing to say, you know what? My time, my talent, my treasure, Lord God, you gave me those. And so I trust you, Lord, that when I take my hands off it, you're going to bless it. You're going to take care of it. You're going to provide. You're going to make a way. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which maketh a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Does Jesus care about her giving? It says that he stood there and he watched them give. And he saw her faith. Because there was these others coming, they were rich. They were given a lot. But God goes off of percentages. And here was a woman, she didn't have much, but she gave all she had. And Jesus saw her faith. He saw her faith. Now, I believe that God blesses us when we're wise stewards. I have seen it happen in my own life. I would not preach tithe and offerings if I didn't practice it myself. In fact, I try to go above and beyond just the minimum, because I have seen God bless it so many, 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 many times. I'm thankful for a wife that's on the same page as that. And times that I have felt to give sacrificially for something, she's never once said, no, I don't think we need to. She's always said, let's do it. And God has always blessed. God has always blessed. I told you all a month or two ago, when we had the I Love My Church offering, and I'd felt to give a certain amount. And I told y'all a couple weeks later that God that week returned out of another source more than what I had given. It was a blessing. It was a miracle. And that's just how God operates. That's just how God does. But faith can be seen by what we're willing to give. Sometimes we give, but it's like trying to it from our cold dead fingers, you know. We're just like, I don't want to let it go. I don't want to put it in there. Oh, that hurts so much. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. But when we're willing to give and say, Lord, I'm trusting you and I have faith enough that I'm going to give my 10% tithe, I'm going to give my 5% offering or whatever it is, and Lord, I'm releasing that, giving that to you, and I am trusting that what's left over is going to go further than if I would have just kept the whole 100% myself. And Jesus can see our faith, and he can see our faith. Faith can be seen by how we live. We've already looked at James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith should affect every part of our life. How we talk, how we treat people, what we do when nobody's watching, how we work, how we respond to temptation. Faith should affect all of those different things. Faith ought to affect the way we talk. The word says the power of life and death is in the tongue. What we say has an effect. And if we have faith, we're going to be speaking faith. If we have faith, there's times that negative thoughts will come, and instead of letting those come out of my mouth, we're going to say, I'm just not going to say anything at all. Or in fact, I'm going to just turn that around and I'm going to speak faith. What are you speaking faith for? Your situation looks pretty bad. Yes, I'm speaking faith. I'm putting my faith to work. I'm speaking things that I'm trying to get the attention of God. Because I'm in a situation that I don't know what to do, and I've got a circumstance I can't fix and deal with myself. But I know there's a God in heaven. He's able to do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. And so I'm just going to speak faith. Lord, you're able. God, I worship you. Thank you for bringing me through this. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for making a way. Faith can be seen by our obedience. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Faith can be seen by our obedience. Abraham obeyed. Noah obeyed. Well, God, what are you talking about? What is rain? It hadn't even rained at that time. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What for? God told me to. So I'm being obedient. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know exactly. The Lord said go, and so here I am being obedient. Faith can be seen in our obedience. Amen. And you can read on through Hebrews chapter 11, seeing all of these heroes of faith and what they did by faith. Real faith becomes visible. Real faith becomes visible. In closing, I want to tell you there's a story that I've preached about a few times, and I've probably heard this story all of my life, but I was able to call today and get a few more details about it. And my great aunt Faye, this is my grandmother's little sister. There in East Texas, it's a little ways outside of Lufkin, Texas. She was just a toddler when she found a bottle of kerosene on the porch, and they used it for their lanterns and all that, and so she drank it. Not good, all right? They said she stopped breathing, she turned blue, and she died. And so people in the little community where they live there, it's called Rocky Hill, they began hearing about it, and so they started gathering around the home place, and the county coroner came, pronounced Aunt Faye dead, and he tried to take the baby's body. But my great-grandmother Moorhead, she wouldn't let him. She said, no, you cannot take my baby's body, because I've sent for my pastor, and we're going to wait till he gets here. Now, in those days, they didn't have phones. They certainly didn't have cell phones, but most houses didn't even have a phone at that point. You couldn't just call somebody real quick and get them to come on over. Her pastor was Brother R.D. Gibson, who was actually Sister Vesta Mangan's dad. And he started churches all over East Texas. At this time, he was probably pastoring two of those churches. And where he lived, between Huntington and Zavala, Texas, was about an hour away. So they had to send somebody to go find him and get him. And he didn't get there till about 2 hours or more after the coroner pronounced her dead and tried to take the body. When he got there, I heard that he said, "Well, Sister Moorhead, they tell me we've got a baby in trouble." And so they had laid her out on the porch, and there she was, all the communities all gathered around, and so he prayed for her. Her brother Jay told about how all of a sudden she started coughing. Now she's dead. She's been pronounced dead like 2 hours before by the county coroner. And here they prayed, and she starts coughing. She sits up, coughs all of that kerosene out, and says, "I want a drink of water." Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Anthony Mangan, so that would have been his grandfather, that pastor would have been Brother Anthony Mangan's grandfather. He was preaching several years ago at the camp meeting in Texas, and he told this story while he was preaching about his grandfather who had prayed for that baby. My Uncle Jay was in the audience and spoke to him and said, "Hey, that was my sister." And actually, she was in the service there too. And she's still alive today. Praise the Lord. I remember hearing another story about one of my great-grandmother's boys that he had a bad toothache and he wasn't able to sleep. And so he called out. It was night. Everybody's in bed. He calls out, "Mama, my tooth is killing me," he said. She was so tired, and she just said something trying to quiet him down, you know. A little while later, he said again, "Mama, my tooth is killing me." Again, she just kind of hushed him. She was tired. They had a bunch of kids, I don't remember, but then she heard him say, "Mama, do you think Jesus is gone from home?" And that got her attention, and she got up out of the bed, and she really got a hold of the Lord. And it wasn't too long until that boy was sleeping. She believed in trusting God. What was it that raised my great aunt Faye up from the dead hours after the coroner had pronounced her dead? What was it that brought healing power to that little boy with a toothache? It was a little lady. She wasn't very big in stature, but there was something that she had a hold of. She didn't have much as far as this world is concerned, but one thing she did have was faith. And I believe that Jesus saw her faith. Hallelujah. No, Mr. County Coroner, I know you did your job, but I've called for my pastor, and we're going to do something else. And I believe Jesus saw her faith, and he raised that baby girl up from the dead and touched that little boy's tooth. And there's all these other stories of how she trusted God, and she put her faith to work, and God saw her faith. Can Jesus see our faith? Come on, if he was to look at our life, would he say, "Hey, there's faith. There's faith. I see faith working." Could he look at us and say, "Hey, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has brought about the miracle. Your faith has opened the door. Your faith has brought about the blessing." Could he look at us right now by the actions, by the things that we're doing? Is there any evidence of faith in our life tonight? I've come to preach to a church that I believe God is building our faith. He's taking us to someplace great. And I want to challenge you. Let's put our faith to work. Come on, let's put our faith into action. Let's find a way to step out in faith and say, "God, All I got to go on right now is walking by faith. There's not a lot of evidence. There's not a lot of signs. There's not a lot of proof yet, but Lord, I'm standing on the word of God, and I'm walking by faith, and I'm speaking by faith, and I'm claiming it by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we stand here in closing right now? Oh, come on. I'm talking about people that are powerful in the spirit. People that are powerful in faith. Amen. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have a lot of popularity. You may not have a lot of the things of this world. But if you've got faith, you can move mountains. If you've got faith, you can open doors that have been shut. If you've got faith, you can reach through prayer into countries that are closed off to missionaries. But your prayers are going to find a way in through faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What this church needs is people that are going to act on your faith. You're not going to just let your faith be dead. Faith without works is dead. I'm not letting my faith be dead, but I'm going to put it to work. I'm going to let it come alive. And I believe Jesus is going to see our faith. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to put my faith to work. So show me something to do. I believe that God speaks to us all the time. I believe he's always talking to us. The Spirit of God is always moving. He's always working. He's always reaching for lives. Now, whether we hear him or not, sometimes we've ignored him so many times that our spirit has just grown cold. And there's a wall up there, and we're not in good communication. But the more we listen, the more we learn how to tune in. And the more we do what he tells us to do, the more he's going to tell us to do. Why would he tell us to do something if we don't ever do it? And so sometimes we're like, well, God hasn't told me anything to do. Well, have we listened to the other stuff that he told us to do? Oh, Pastor, that was back 2 or 3 years ago, and I didn't really want to do that, you know. And maybe we need to go back, maybe for years. This is not in my notes, but maybe somebody here, there's something the Lord has told you to do years ago, and you knew it was the Lord, and for whatever reason, it wasn't convenient or it wasn't whatever. And that has been a hindrance to you to hearing the Lord's voice to carry you forward today, because you need to go back and do what he's told you to do before now. I don't know that. I don't know where that just came from, but maybe somebody needs to listen to that. And the more that we do what he tells us to do, the more he's going to speak to us. And the more we tune in to his presence. And then the more we can put our faith into action and do what he's called us to do. Praise the Lord. How can Jesus see our faith when we put it into action? Amen. Amen. I repented. As I was in the presence of somebody the other day who had a need. And I'll just be honest with you, I talked to them and, you know, said all the right things a pastor should say. But the need was so great, and I've never seen God do it. And so I didn't even really think about praying in that moment. Not the way I really needed to pray. I said, well, were you praying for you? You know, all that kind of stuff. But I repented later on because I should have got a boldness and authority and laid hands on them and prayed the prayer of faith and cast out the spirit that was really probably causing their issue. And I repented because God got on to me because I didn't do what I should have done in that moment. And I said, Lord, give me another opportunity. Give me another opportunity. I'll do it. Hallelujah. God, have mercy on us. I pray you'd have mercy on us any time that you've spoken to us to do something. And Lord, we didn't step out in faith. It wasn't convenient, or it wasn't easy, or it wasn't comfortable, or whatever it is. Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, God. Give us another opportunity. Give us another chance, Lord. Give us some help, Lord. I pray that you'd make a way, oh God. I pray that you would work and move through us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to put our faith into action. Lord, let there be a resurgence of faith in this house. Lord, I pray that you would take us to another level in faith.